Apothecary Herbs announces a brand new formula to help balance blood pressure from head to foot, strengthen your heart muscle, and reduce cholesterol. Now you have a professional strength alternative that works all without fear or worry of serious side effects. Empower yourself. Become independent from the expensive drugs. Call Apothecary Herbs and ask for heart, blood pressure, and cholesterol formula toll-free. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. Heart, blood pressure, and cholesterol formula is just $24.95 and comes with a money-back guarantee. So get a pencil and write this down. Apothecary Herbs, toll-free, 866-229-3663 or on the web at thepowerherbs.com. If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day here on Herb Talk. It's all about empowerment, and that's what it's going to be right here, right, Frank? Every time, all the time here on American Voice Radio Network. Thanks for joining us here. We have a great show. On Herb Talk, we're going to empower you with some very interesting news on snoring children and what some medical research just came up with that and what they think it could be. And what they say that, you know, maybe how it should be treated, but, well, we're going to figure it out and help you get to the solution. But before we get to all that and our quack report, we got to give the Lord God praise and glory all the time, every day. He gets all the credit, as you know. So we're going to go to our devotional. And on Psalms 150, it says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise you the Lord. And the heavens shall praise the wonders of the Lord, his faithfulness, and also in the congregation of all the saints." That's Psalms 89. So in Psalms 107, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." That's right. We don't praise the Lord enough. We don't lift up our voices and praise and thank him every day for the next breath we're taking. So mind the time it grows short, seek the Lord's face, because that is the way. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Alrighty. Hey, there was a poll. And it says, 15% of Americans worse off this year due to the pandemic. That's right. Most Americans are kind of weathering the pandemic financially okay, but about 38 million say that they're worse off after the outbreak. About 55% of Americans say their financial circumstances are about the same. as a year ago. 30% said their finances improved. And this was an impact poll from the Associated Press Center for Public Affairs Research. But the 15% say they're worse off. So the problem seems to be in the area of the low-income parts of America, where they're just barely struggling to pay bills. So that is an issue. Moving along in the Quack report, you may have heard on the 13th, April 13th, the CDC has pulled the Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine due to deadly blood clots and death. So an acceleration of death due to the vaccine has caused the FDA to recall nationwide the Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine. So the COVID vaccine made by Johnson & Johnson has protein structures in it that biologically activate and load your blood system in a coagulation clotting mode, and then they travel to the blood and the lungs and the heart, and you can just imagine what that happens. The big reaper is a-coming. So this mRNA vaccine by Johnson & Johnson is now off the market. And, of course, poor Johnson & Johnson. Didn't they just pick up Roundup, and there's a problem with that? They're going to have some interesting legal battles, I'm thinking. All right, and last up in the Quack report, CDC director says all classes should be in person by this fall, regardless of whether students are vaccinated or not. So this is Rochelle Walensky, director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. She expects that all classrooms be full and in person by this fall. Parents and teachers should anticipate this regardless of whether children get vaccinated or not. So they're going to use the guidelines on school reopenings. They're going to be a bit modified. They're still going to do some social distancing, but it's going to be not 6 feet. It's going to be 3 feet. Some, physical barriers may be recommended for certain situations, but they want the school kids back in school, K through 12. That's right. Meanwhile, percentage of those learning through hybrid setup through schools, virtual learning, the percentage of those learning through that database dropped 31%. Students enrolled in traditional in-person live schools increased by almost 52%. Those virtual schools are dropping like flies. Parents don't like them. Kids don't like them. They're not really learning. Nobody's supervised. So, and of course, we'll just be seeking the Lord's face, asking for help, because this nation certainly needs it. I hope you're hitting the knees, seeking the Lord's face, because that's what I'm doing. And that wraps the Quack Report. Thank you, Frank. Okay, so how many of you out there have had kids that snore? Well, I'm pretty sure everybody's had kids that snore. So at first glance, the topic of children snoring may not, turn heads, as, some may speculate that the child was very tired due to a day of physical activity. Wouldn't you be snoring? And others may ponder the notion that a child takes, the snoring maybe after parents that snore. Maybe it's genetic. But actually, snoring could be an indication of a health condition. Yeah. So recently, the National Institute of Health on Drug Abuse released some findings on what they think the reason is behind the children who routinely snore. So let's look at their study. It was released April 2021, National Institute of Health. They said that this is a large study. They looked into kids that snored routinely and also had behavioral problems. So the study included 10-year-old children around the age of 10. So according to this report, the right frontal lobe of the brain is involved when this occurs. So children who were reported to have a snoring three or more times weekly, they were included in the study. So it's routine snoring 3 or more times a week. And several other institutions did support this research finding, and it did get published in the Journal of Nature Communications. So the research has declared that there is this link between snoring and behavioral problems, especially in kids. Now, if previous research was considered here, they would have found that there has been a case, clinical case, where, you know, this happens in adults too. You know, adults snore habitually, and they may have behavioral changes. So the National Institute of Health claims that they could really not fully understand the connection between the behavior changes and snoring. Really? Well, although previous studies on sleep apnea have been recorded and also affect the brain and behavioral changes in adults, so here are some of their findings. Children who habitually snored had worse behavioral problems, and there is a direct link between snoring and behavioral issues. Snoring affected the front lobe brain region and involved cognitive function. Learning and problem-solving cognitive functions get impaired, and children who snore had more severe impulse control issues as well as social interaction issues. Now, there was this study in 2016. The American Thoracic Society conducted this study in which they assessed children who snored regularly and who had developed enlarged tonsils, adenoids, and sleep apnea. They also reported that cognitive capabilities were impaired or impacted, such as things like attention deficit issues, language and memory issues. So here's a quote from a Dr. Leah Gazell, University of Chicago. She says, evidence suggesting the presence of cognitive deficits in children with sleep apnea has been around for quite some time. So, duh, it's not new. So why did the National Institute of Health not connect these dots where they said, we don't know what the link is between sleep apnea and behavioral problems? Seriously. I don't know. Who? I mean, these people are paid money. You can't even see it. So let's look at the linked problems for a second. So who wouldn't have a behavioral problem seriously when you don't have a good night's sleep? People get cranky. And you get this going on a routine basis, yeah, it's going to change behavior. So adults and children who don't sleep well, especially with sleep apnea, they're bound to have changes in behavior. And there are quite a few that have been clinically listed, such as depression, moodiness, appetite changes, and suicidal tendencies. Yep. What is that, Frank? What exactly is sleep apnea? That's when you quit breathing when you sleep many, many times during the night. And we talked about this on previous shows where it affects the cardio because the heart system goes under stress. It's like fight or flight because it's almost like you wake up gasping for air, and there comes that really loud snore when that happens. Okay. And this happens, you know, many times a night. Could be 100 times a night. So you quit breathing 100 times a night. It really impacts the system and the brain and the cardio. A lot of people with sleep apnea also have cardio issues as well as, you know, behavioral and cognitive issues. So sleep apnea is when you quit breathing when you're sleeping many times per night. So stress is the heart really bad, Frank. You know, a lot of people with sleep apnea wind up having heart attacks. Now, many patients that are diagnosed with sleep apnea, they get put on, antidepressants, and that can quickly turn to burnout, really. I mean, this is the wrong thing, in my opinion. We're going to get to the cause of this in just a second, Frank. But people that aren't sleeping well, snoring, maybe have the sleep apnea, and they're kind of telling the doctor, "Well, I'm lethargic. I feel depressed. Well, let's just put you on some antidepressants then." Well, when you do that, the burnout mode is you will soon have the inability to read or write. You have the inability to stay focused on your tasks, and inability to comprehend and communicate adequately. And you throw kids on that drug. and you can just see their grades are going to be in the toilet for sure. So let's look at how Prozac, for instance, very popular antidepressant. Prozac affects your neurotransmitter serotonin, and serotonin is affected by the adrenaline levels in the body. So excess adrenaline causes depression, right? But Prozac raises the adrenaline level so high that it has an opposite effect and works like an anesthetic on your brain. So just 1/13 of a milligram of Prozac doubles your body's adrenaline level. So Prozac actually magnifies your depression, but your brain is so anesthetized with the serotonin, it doesn't care. And this is a kind of dangerous situation, because millions of people have a new prognosis on these drugs: apathy and indifference. Your brain is being anesthetized while you're awake. Think about that for a minute. Well, I don't think doctors explain it to their patients like that. I think if they did, Frank, they'd probably say, don't bother writing that prescription. Right? Well, they did find a sleep link. According to the American Sleep Apnea Association, 22 million Americans do have sleep apnea. We're told that about 80% of those with the sleep apnea have moderate to severe symptoms. And there are several different types of sleep apnea, like three of them. So if you suffer from this type of sleep apnea, episodes of not breathing hundreds of times per night, this is going to produce poor quality of sleep. But the greater risk is on your health. It occurs during the deepest part of your sleep, during that rapid eye movement. So Americans, a lot of them are sent to sleep apnea clinics, and the American Sleep Apnea Association is saying that the sleep apnea will produce a reduction of oxygen, which stresses the cardio and your brain, and the blood is starving the cells of the body and is producing a lot of physical conditions metabolically in the process. So sleep apnea can lead to some of these health complications, headaches, especially when you wake up in the morning. So we may have teenagers or kids as young as 10 with sleep apnea waking up with headaches in the morning. Boy, they're going to be grumpy on the school bus. You know what I mean? Other conditions sleep apnea can lead to is heart attack. We mentioned that, high blood pressure, heart failure, AFib or heart fluttering, strokes, type 2 diabetes, depression, sleep deprivation, lack of energy, loss of concentration and coordination, and obesity. Of course, you know, the average person that gets the sleep apnea diagnosis from the sleep clinic is going to be written a prescription for a CPAP machine. You know what those are, those machines that help you breathe when you sleep, supposedly. So the machine, the medical treatment is, you know, put a sleep apnea patient on the CPAP machine, and it offers a little bit of symptom relief, but it also offers some risk. So if you've seen these machines, they're about the size of a toaster. They have hoses coming out of them, and they attach to a mask, which the patient wears. So the bottom tray of the machine holds some water, and the water gets sucked up into the machine to produce this moist air that is forced through the face mask into the back of the airway, the back of your throat and your airway. And this is supposed to prevent the airway from closing off, causing the sleep apnea. And, you know, people usually complain. Not very comfortable sleeping with this mask on. You're forced to lay on your back. You can't really turn over. I mean, if you're a stomach sleeper, you can forget it. And the additional problem most sleep apnea patients find is the CPAP machine is not, if it's not cleaned, if you can't get all the you know, bacteria out of those hoses and stuff, well, then they wind up suffering from, you know, chronic sinus infections and even maybe lung infections. So there's the risk. So patients are required to sleep, as I said, on their backs. And for this reason, a lot of people just quit using the machines because they're just not comfortable. Now, Rutgers University found a thyroid link and we reported this a while back, but let's just, you know, reiterate. Over the years, I've kind of covered a lot of information that did get published in journals, but they're not promoted in the medical circles, okay? You know, these are cures for some of the most problematic health conditions we have. So, you know, why they're not teaching patients how to be well? Well, you can fill in the blank. So while I was a medical herbal student, I heard a presentation by a natural physician who said that they thought that the sleep disruption and a lot of cardio issues were tied to the thyroid gland. Now, in 2007, Rutgers University did some research on the thyroid hormones, and they found that the thyroid makes hormones to regulate your sleep cycle, your circadian sleep cycle. And Dr. Joseph Martin, he was a biologist involved in the study. He found out how important his thyroid was when they had to remove it due to cancer. And he was forced to go on medications as a substitute for the missing gland producing the hormones. And he was constantly having to adjust the hormone doses to help regulate his sleep, avoid being lethargic, and also from gaining a bunch of weight. So what researchers have discovered is your thyroid does manufacture hormones which affect your brain and your nervous system. So the thyroid hormones act as receptors on brain cells or neurotransmitters. This affects cellular activity and regeneration when you're sleeping. So modern medicine thought, you know, hey, your thyroid just regulates body temperature and weight. It's other than that, it's just a pretty butterfly gland in the front of your neck. Well, not so fast. The research has led to understanding, a deeper understanding of the thyroid gland, that it produces hormones that regulate the circadian sleep rhythm and your involuntary breathing while you sleep. Duh. So, therefore, your thyroid that is out of balance can be the cause of snoring, sleep apnea, behavioral changes, cardio issues, you name it. Here's what Dr. Martin says. We're really just beginning to learn the true extent of how the thyroid works, how thyroid hormones impact our overall health. So in a nutshell, here's the cause. Here's the link. Here's the cause. Lack of iodine, that's the food that your gland, thyroid gland runs on. So if you have a lack of iodine for the thyroid, it will cause sleep apnea, snoring, cardio dysfunction, and depression. Ta-da! So when the thyroid gland is not getting the right nutrients that it needs, it produces, so it can produce the hormones that help support various metabolic functions, well, then you're going to get dysfunction, like nervous system dysfunction, cardio system dysfunction, sleep disturbance. And I believe that the scientific medical community knows about how this works. And for whatever reason, I can think of a few, they prefer not to educate patients on how to help themselves and cure this dysfunction. So children and adults not getting enough whole food minerals in foods is showing up as these metabolic dysfunctions. So here's a natural solution. I've learned a few things working with herbs over the last 21 years, or longer, I should say. And there's things you can do to help your thyroid balance and heal itself. Our glands, especially a thyroid gland, it has to have organic iodine, not synthetic iodine, organic iodine, in order to manufacture its hormones, okay? So if the gland is overworked and exhausted, it doesn't get fed enough iodine, you're going to have to use some herbs that will not only feed it the natural iodine, but also soothe it, give it some TLC. And people become kind of impatient when they start working with their thyroid gland. They want instant energy. Hey, it may come in a couple of days. It may come in a couple of weeks. But, you know, it could take longer. So don't get impatient. Depression and weight gain, also very frustrating. I get those complications. But you have to allow the gland time. So if you have the right herbs and use them in the right combinations, you can regenerate the thyroid pretty quickly. So difficulties that may arise during this transition, maybe if you had surgery on the gland, which was an invasive procedure, or if you had the gland radiated for some reason, for cancer or whatever, that can also set you back a bit. So I would still work on regenerating the thyroid because that's just me. So the herbs that I use are the black walnut that has a natural iodine, and we're not specifically talking about the nut itself. It's not the nut. It's not that part of the black walnut. Also, mullein herb will soothe the thyroid gland. Then we like to layer in some Siberian ginseng, so it gives the gland some energy, metabolic strength. And you can find all three of these herbal formulas with perfect instructions on how to, you know, get rid of your sleep apnea. It's at thepowerherbs.com. Yeah, it's not rocket science. So they also have things for cardio, hawthorn berries to lower the risk of things like stroke, angina pain. Also, motherwort for the heart flutter aphid thing. They have a heart attack pack, you know, if you want something for an emergency when seconds count. Things for depression, they have things like valerian root, an emotional stress formula, the body foundation food mix with a lot of minerals and vitamins that the body's starving for. They have diabetic formulas, brain formulas to help improve memory, improve sleep. They have a lot of stuff there. But, you know, balancing that thyroid is going to make a world of difference. And there's certain things that metabolically can be attached to a malfunctioning thyroid, even skin issues. So make sure you protect that gland. It's very important metabolically. So thepowerherbs.com, give them a visit there online or give them a call for a free product catalog, 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. International is 828-469-5972, 828-469-5972. And I can see by the clock, we got to take a little break. We'll be right back.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
$22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order, 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money-back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula.
formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Kidney Stone Formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Herb Talk Live has your HMO, Herb Medicine Options, coming up next.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
All right, we're going to be talking about doing some math. Let's do some math. Oh, I know, it's late in the evening. Maybe you don't want to do the math, but this is not going to be hard at all. Nope, nope. And this isn't a new math that the powers that be want you to learn. No, we're going to talk about the math that's associated with the successful use of medications, okay? So as we use drugs, people use drugs all over the world, and the use of prescription medication continues to, climb. Now, I wondered what percentage of prescribed medicine actually was proven to work. Well, aside from drug study hype, there, has got to be some empirical history by now, especially, that is proving drugs cure people. And the word cure medically means, the definition is put you back to your original wellness before you got ill. So you may be surprised that the math is going to work out to be, with regards to your drug culture, it's going to be a surprise. Now, patients are accustomed to, pop on a bunch of pills, for whatever symptom they tell their doctor they have. And it can be much easier to drug up your symptom than to deal with the cause of it to begin with. So the increase in the number of Americans taking drugs really has jumped to nearly 40%. From 40% to over 48% just in the last decade. So we're going to take a look at the percentages of the success brought about by your prescription medication therapy. Here's some stats real quick. According to the CDC, the United States, almost 49% of Americans take at least one prescription drug. And those stats drop to almost 22% if they're on 3 drugs, and then 11% if people are taking 5 or more medications. So the 3 classifications with drug companies that sell the most drugs are the category of painkillers, your analgesics, your cholesterol-lowering prescription drugs, statin drugs, for instance, and your antidepressants. Those are the 3 biggies. Now, it's kind of interesting, I think, that these 3 big drug categories are kind of at the top of the pill-popping heap, and it is not by accident, or you suppose it's by design. Well, painkillers will make patients addicted to the drug, And if patients are not careful, they're going to have a problem on top of their pain. Cholesterol drugs on a cellular level make your cells fall apart and lead you down the road to heart failure. That's been clinically proven. And this leads patients down to this road of a myriad of illnesses because of the side effects that a lot of these drugs give you. Now, your antidepressants can alter behavior, putting patients at severe health risks like suicide. And so these three categories of drugs working to supposedly cure people or treat people, are they really doing just that? Or are they designed to create patients for life? Are they designed to give you additional health complications? So what a majority of people are figuring out is that there is a double, these things are double-edged swords. So here is a quote from Julia Holmes. She's an analgesic studies, CDC, National Center for Health. She says, isn't that the case with all forms of medical technology? There is always the potential for inappropriate use. Well, yeah, Julia, I think so. And there are some governmental reports to consider. The U.S. government has documented on file that is showing prescription drug therapy is not a cure. Mm-hmm. In 2010, over 5 million Americans were prescribed pain medicine, which is enough to medicate every adult in the United States for a month. So according to the reports by WebMD, medical professionals are kind of overwhelmed with unintended consequences that these medications are causing patients. Bacterial resistance, drug addictions, adverse events, and also interaction, drug therapy interactions. So the CDC is reporting the runner-up category of the top-selling drugs for such conditions is going to be things like the heart disease drugs, the hypertension drugs, and the kidney disease, the renal failure, diabetic area. It is also reported that narcotic medications used by patients have tripled, and the death rates on such patients have gone up. CDC is reporting that the spending on the drug therapy has gone up also, mainly due to the lower costs of genetic drugs on the market. So these drugs are made overseas in countries such as China, so a lot of people will opt for the genetic form, not realizing a lot of those countries don't have any oversight on the production of such things. All right, well, let's look at the success rate. Let's get to the nitty-gritty. Here's the study that says research out of Oregon State University, Frank, that's where you're at. They looked at several large clinical trials that was paid by the U.S. National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute. And the public is kind of clamoring for more transparency regarding scientific ethic reports and probes on the clinical data and so forth. So the research team looked at 55 studies in which they said 30 were published before more regulatory safeguards were put into place, and 25 of the studies were published afterward. So when they looked at the 25 studies that were published after the safer or stiffer regulations were active, the team discovered that only 2 studies out of the 25 had any positive outcomes. So in the group of 30 studies that were published before the stiffer regulations went into play, 17 trials were reported as having positive outcomes. So the more regulations that went into place to try to prevent the altering of data making the study outcome look better than it was, you know, just seemed to, you know, cause a problem. So in the instance for research team analysis on these studies involving treatments, let's say for heart disease, they suggested that they would probably find similar outcomes when they were looking at these trials for treatment for things also like diabetes and cancer. So the conclusion the research team came up to is that a mere 8% of your medical treatments that were reviewed may offer a positive effect. 8%. Oh, my word. Here's a quote from the medical pharmacology text. Relatively few doctors ever report adverse drug reactions to the FDA, and the reasons range from not knowing such a reporting system exists to fear of being sued. And that's the other thing I want to mention, that, Frank, you know, a lot of people think, oh, well, we have that VIRS vaccine reporting network for adverse events. Well, under, you know, regular vaccines for childhood, the childhood vaccines for getting ready for school, only 1% get reported to that network for adverse events. So what do you suppose the chances are the COVID reports are going to be any accurate? Don't think we're ever going to know those statistics. Now, if we look at United Kingdom over there, the National Health Service over there, their officials are being bribed by drug companies to use their drugs in their socialized healthcare programs. Now, this was a report out of the UK Telegraph. The health officials are being wined and dined, as well as offered significant sums of money to change their healthcare policies to mandate their drug therapy. So in the UK, it has been a policy that any therapeutic treatment needs to be based on solid research and evidence that it works and is affordable. Apparently, the drug companies don't have clinical research to support that their drugs work and are worth the cost, so they go to cheating, basically. So the drug companies have been known to sweeten the bribery pot by offering these health officials, who are in charge of the health policies over all of the people in the UK, they offer them a seat on their advisory panel. You know? Well, you can quit the government job and come work for us for a sweet salary. You know? Also, according to the Journal of the American Medical Association, or JAMA, adverse events and deaths caused by drug therapy is said to be 40,000 drug deaths and 120,000 adverse events annually. But those numbers, we know, are low. These numbers are bogus, as reported by other sources, including the FDA's Director of Drug Assessment. Here is Jerry Phillips, Associate Director of FDA's Office of Post-Marketing Drug Risk Assessment. He says, in the broader area of adverse drug reaction data, 250,000 reports received annually probably represent only 5% of the actual reactions that really occur. 5%. And this is from Dr. Jay Cohen. He says, because only 5% of adverse drug reactions are reported, there are in fact 5 million medication reactions each year. And that's your drug therapy. Imagine what your experimental COVID vaccine is going to generate. Ooh. I don't think the mainstream media is going to report on that. So researchers at the University of Minnesota, well, they're stating that uncovered evidence that the drug companies delay reports of adverse events caused by their drugs were done on purpose. Oh. Do tell. They have installed mechanisms to cause a delay or to conceal the adverse event. And we should also take note adverse drug reactions that were not expected because the reaction is not on the list from the drug manufacturer themselves. Well, those are considered unexpected reactions and they never get reported. So drug companies get around the current laws by spending more time verifying reports of the adverse events, and in particularly on patient deaths, which, you know, delays the reports even longer. So what is wrong with the picture here? Current federal laws have, you know, if any adverse drug reports, including death, they need to go on the record. And but what happens is, because of the legal loopholes, those reports go back to the drug manufacturer and not the FDA. Well, you know, the drug manufacturer is not going to want to report that. And doctors are less able to make safe patient care choices if vital information is delayed, hidden, manipulated, especially when any newly approved treatment with a clinical limited use, like your COVID vaccines. So if the law states... Well, you know, as the law states, you know this, Frank, justice delayed is justice denied. Yeah, and a lot of doctors are saying, you know, a lot of stuff is hidden from them, and they can't make really great decisions on certain things because they're working with limited info. Now, Dr. Piner, he's Piner Mandick, he's with University of Minnesota School of Public Health in Minnesota, He says, our analysis proved evidence that drug manufacturers delay reporting of serious adverse events to the FDA. Strikingly, adverse events with patient death were more likely to be delayed. How about deleted? You know, everybody's got a delete button on their computer, don't they? So let's do the math. It would appear 8% of the prescription drug therapy is shown to be somewhat clinically effective. The research shows positive outcomes with regard to controlling or diminishing the symptoms, possibly. However, the empirical history of drug use shows kind of a different outcome. There is this trade-off of the side effects, which medicine does not consider a negative outcome at all. And I suspect that if the researchers were to consider all the side effects, the underreported rates of adverse events, and if the drug is discontinued, well, the symptoms of disease, will they return? Most drugs would produce maybe a negative outcome, and the effect rate would plummet once the drug therapy is stopped. So drugs with control symptoms make patients hostages to their disease treatments. That's not a cure. Nope. So do you want to manage your disease or do you want to overcome it? You have to make that decision. Doctors are great. I think, you know, most of them are great. They see there's problems in the healthcare industry, and they're good for trauma care. But they're taught to prescribe. They don't know how to reverse a disease. They're taught how to manage the symptoms of the disease with drug therapy, but they don't know how to reverse a disease. They don't know how to do that. The body knows how to do that. You got to trust in the body, but you got to make sure you give the body the fuel, the supplies, the arsenal it needs to do that. Just like first segment of the show, we talked about the thyroid gland. It's not going to be able to rebalance and heal and help you if you don't feed it the natural iodine. And that was clinically proven in several studies. So, comparing our food crops today, we don't get the minerals in our crops like we used to, 50% less compared to the 1920s. And more strikingly, a comparison is the people in the 1920s ate one-third less volume of food than we do, because when the body gets more nutrition, it's satisfied. You don't need more volume. So we're eating more volume to compensate for the less nutrition, and it's contributing to a whole slew of other health problems, obesity and so forth. Because a lot of people aren't making healthy food choices. So, if you want to overcome, you got to get smart and you got to get the right tools and the information how to use them. Call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They specialize in toxin removal, metabolic strengthening, and immune support. So, those are the really key issues. And a lot of internal medicine disorders, I think, is a lack of minerals. And you got to beef up your minerals. And one of the key things that we've gotten away from is a basic element like salt. Salt has 84 electrolytes that the nervous system needs, the heart muscle needs. Real salt is cardio-friendly. It's not a hypertension issue. It's not just ascorbic acid. It's not just sodium chloride. Salt is, you know, supposed to have these 84 microminerals and buffer alkaloids with it. So salt is a healthy thing if you get the right kind. Ocean salt that's sun-dried has that nutrition in it, but it shouldn't be white. It's over-processed, and nutrition is taken out if it's white. So look for Celtic sea salt at thepowerherbs.com and learn the difference in salt. Very basic thing, but a very important thing metabolically. All righty. We had a few minutes, so we're going to talk about helping your brain. We were talking about lack of sleep. It affects the frontal lobe of the brain, causing all kinds of issues with cognitive function. So we're going to talk about how we can help our brain out. And I came across this research at the Institute of Research and Education. This is at the Federal University of Rio de Janeiro. And they found a list of herbs that will positively impact your human brain. That's right. So, for instance, the Brazilian researchers reported that some herbs improve neuron function and help strengthen the connections between your brain cells. So you talk about improved memory and cognitive function right there. They said the herbs that offer this potent chemical reaction and improving flavonoids to help cognitive function and memory, learning, and prevention of cognitive illnesses and decline. They were listing the herbs of parsley, thyme, chamomile, and red pepper. So on particular, they were talking about the flavonoids. And they say the flavonoids in these herbs strengthen your brain neurons. So when the scientist applied these flavonoids from the herbs, it helped our human stem cells create more brain neurons in just 25 days. Ooh. And they compared the treated neurons with non-treated ones, and they found the neurons that received the flavonoids from the herbs had this more sophisticated or stronger construction to them. And medical science is saying that the stronger neuron connections in the brain provide better memory and general cognitive function. So this research did get published in the December 2015 issue of Advances in Regenerative Biology. Now, a lot of people say you can't regenerate the brain. Oh, yeah, you can. The brain makes its own brain stem cells. And one of the herbs I like to use for the body to make its own brain own stem cells for regeneration is alfalfa. Yep. According to Stephen Rehem at the Institute, he says, we show a new path for new studies in this substance, natural substance. He says, moreover, flavonoids are present in high amounts in some foods, and we can also ascertain that a diet rich in flavonoids will influence the formation of neurons and the way that they communicate within our brain. Yeah. So plants, and that's what man is supposed to be consuming, plants, not some sort of isolated chemical from jellyfish. Okay? Well, other benefits, the researchers say that the flavonoids in your herbs will help a young brain that's developing mature properly. They're saying the herb nutrition helped the estrogen receptors, which affect a brain's development. It also offers more plasticity to the nervous system and can delay the prevention and onset of neurodegenerative disorders like dementia, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, schizophrenia, and even depression. So, herbs that help your brain, I love it. And they're very basic and easy and affordable, and you can get them anywhere. Research 2013, St. Louis University said herbs that can reverse cognitive impairment. Their researchers were looking at the antioxidant benefit in a lot of these herbs for cognitive function. They like the herbs of rosemary, spearmint, for instance, helps the brain overcome cognitive impairment and even help avoid dementia. Now, according to Dr. Susan Farr, she says the rosemary was by far the most powerful for improving memory and learning capabilities. Their research did get published in the November 2013 Journal of Neuroscience. She says, we found that the compounds in herbs reduced difficulties or deficits caused by cognitive impairment, which can be a precursor to Alzheimer's. So our research suggests the herbal extracts may help benefit on the altering the course of age-related cognitive decline. Alter the course. I say let's go for it. Let's alter the course. Now, you're going to find rosemary in the brain concentrate formula the folks at Apothecary Herbs make for memory issues, and it's amazing. So you'll find that on their website at thepowerherbs.com, or you can give them a call and get a free catalog, 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Don't forget that web address. It could save your life. It really could. Also, we've got a few minutes, so triocene, it's a Greek word. Trio means cheese, and it was also discovered in 1846 by a German chemist, Justus von Liebig. It identified a protein, casein, from cheese, and the triocene influences the brain, tryptophan, things like that. Foods that will impact their brain are fish, chicken, pork, whole grains, oats, milk, cheese, yogurt, avocados, bananas, legumes, beans, nuts like almonds, as well as sesame seeds and pumpkin seeds. So a lot of the research is saying your triosine in these foods help fight disease like Parkinson's and Alzheimer's, and schizophrenia and dementia, and helps even address things like depression and symptoms that are associated with a lot of stress. So foods like coffee, well, they stimulate the adrenal glands, but they don't do much more. So they're saying coffee's not the way to go to stimulate or become alert. They're saying use these other food sources instead. Because, caffeine just fades away, and then you get this slump, and you feel sluggish again. So caffeine only gives you that short-lived burst, but a dramatic drop in energy later. So be smart out there. There's lots of herbs and foods and spices that you can use that the body was designed to respond to. Body wasn't designed to respond to harsh chemicals that force a function, and then later you get rebound effect and you get a problem worse than when you started. So the Bible says herbs are here for the service of man and the healing of the nations, and that's from Genesis to Revelation. God tells us right under our nose. God can't lie. And he created everything in the universe, and he knows what we need. So your medicinal herbs are going to be packed full of minerals and enzymes and amino acids and things the body can utilize. And utilize it will. So give the folks at Apothecary Herbs a call. Get their catalog. See how powerful you can be with the right tools. 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Yeah, you're powerful. You just didn't know it. You just didn't know how to do it. But you're going to know soon enough. Everybody's a believer. Thepowerherbs.com. And I can see by the clock I'm out of time. So the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, or prevent disease. Seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. And I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, I wish you all to be well.